Greetings in the name of the Lord. For a number of weeks, we've been studying from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. And I emphasize again today, as I have emphasized in every message I have given, and that is that this epistle, as is every other part of the Word of God, it is truly the Word of God itself. It is not the Word of men, it is the Word of God. We can absolutely rely upon it, we can depend upon it, we can absolutely live by it, we can put aside the teachings of men which very often plague us and cause us to stumble, we can put aside the teachings of men which are contrary to the Word of God, and we can come to the Word of God itself. I would urge you in your personal daily walk with the Lord, if you know the Lord as your Savior, I would urge you to go to the Word of God itself daily and read it and meditate on it and study it. If you are not yet a Christian, if somehow you have not yet come to the Lord Jesus, though you may be very religious, you may be very devout in your church practice, you may be doing all of the various ceremonies of your church and so forth, if you are not yet truly trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, you still are not saved. But I would urge you, go to the Word of God. Now, some of you have been taught by men. You've read the books of men. Maybe even in your Bibles, you have the notations of your teachers or the notations of your church. And they're saying, well, this passage may say so-and-so, but this is what it really means. And I've learned in my own life, I don't depend upon the notations of men. I depend upon the Word of God itself. And so put aside the notations, even if they're in your Bible. Read the text of the Word of God itself. By the Holy Spirit, God will help you to understand it, how you need to be saved, how you can be saved, and then He will lead you on once you have trusted the Lord. Now today, I want us to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. Many of you have memorized this section of Scripture, and I want to study this section with you today. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. I want to take just this section of Scripture today, and I want to talk about the subject, God working for our good in our lives. God working for our good in our lives. It is easy to see how God is working for our good when our lives are in pleasant and acceptable circumstances. Many times, and I'm thankful for this, our lives are in good and acceptable circumstances. But it's very difficult to understand this truth when the circumstances seem to us to be bitter and harsh. We've lost a loved one. We've lost some possession of ours. We've lost even sometimes a job. Bad things, in other words, seem to have happened to us. And then the question would be, how can God possibly be working for my good when He permits so many bad things to come into my life? Now we note, first of all, Paul's own situation and circumstances as he's writing this book of Romans. He's writing this book in 56 A.D. He has just finished his third missionary journey. He's just about to leave Ephesus and to head back to the city of Jerusalem. And when he goes back to the city of Jerusalem, God has already shown him that he's going to be persecuted there, he's going to suffer there, and he's going to go through even imprisonment for the sake of the Lord Jesus. This is going to be his lot, so to speak, as he goes back to the city of Jerusalem. And so Paul knew that this was his future. But he also knew, as he writes this book, and as God inspires him to write this book, that God would bring victory out of it and would be working for his good. Very difficult to understand from a human standpoint, but Paul could accept this. And we also note, as we study the life of Paul, and we see this in other passages, in every city where he had already been, he had already faced much persecution and physical suffering. I was reading today from 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 to 33. And in this passage, Paul had listed all of the sufferings he had gone through, how many times he had been beaten for the sake of Christ, how many times he'd been in prison, how many times he'd been shipwrecked, how many times he'd gone through other sufferings for the sake of the Lord Jesus. But out of all of this, great victories had come, and the spread of the gospel had been increased because of these sufferings. And so you watch him on his three missionary journeys. He first went to Galatia, then he went to the rest of Asia and to Europe, and then on his third journey went back through these cities again. There was hardly a time he didn't go through intense personal suffering for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And this was something that Paul had to accept, because through this suffering came great spiritual victories. In other words, people saw his example. They saw his suffering. And by watching him, they realized that this man, who formerly had been a strict and a very devout follower of the law of Moses, this man who had left everything to follow the Lord Jesus and to know him as his Savior, this man was an example to them. This man was an example of faithfulness for the Lord, even in his suffering. So out of this had come great, tremendous victories for the name of the Lord Jesus. On his second missionary journey, again, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, he had gone through physical disability. And this physical disability was also a time of great stress for him, a time of terrible stress for him. He asked the Lord three times, he says, in this passage of Scripture, to remove it. It was something that was very grievous to him, and he desperately wanted it to be removed. But the Lord would not remove it. And instead, the Lord promises him that his grace, his strength, would be sufficient for him. This is now not saving grace. This is sustaining grace, strengthening grace that God is promising him. And so Paul could say, even though the disability had not been removed, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, I am made perfect in my weakness by the strength that God gives me. And then during his first imprisonment in Rome, after the writing of the book of Romans, when Paul was in a prison cell, he was going through great difficulties. Remember, as you study the book of Acts, that in the first 2 years of his time in Rome, he was in a hired house under guard. But then apparently, after 2 years, in 60 AD, they took him from his hired house and they put him in a cruel, cold prison cell. A very difficult time in the life of this man. He was going through great suffering. And to add to everything else, rather than being encouraged by some of the brethren apparently were preaching against him. How shameful of them. He was a man who needed encouragement, who needed Christians to stand alongside him. But some of the brethren, perhaps jealous of him, were even preaching against him. And Paul said they thought that they were going to add to my affliction. In other words, this was their intention, to make it more difficult for me in the prison. But you notice in this book that the Apostle Paul could still, in the midst of these great difficulties in prison, he first of all could tell of the opportunities he had had to witness to the guard of Caesar himself, and also to witness to the household of Caesar. There are some who believe, in fact, that the wife of Caesar even trusted the Lord. Imagine this cruel emperor, even his wife trusted the Lord. And so God gave great victory. And more than this even, The book of Philippians is the book of rejoicing and joy. If you read this book, you see this phrase repeated again and again in the book of Philippians. It's a book of rejoicing and joy. Now, how do our circumstances compare with those of Paul? We have death in a family. We have loss of a job, lack of material things, problems with people with work that we work with, problems in daily life. Everything imaginable can happen to us. And we note that God is able to bring glory to himself through these circumstances. Not only does he give grace to us to go through the circumstances, but he also can accomplish his purposes through our difficult circumstances. In this passage of Scripture, for instance, that we have read today, just these three verses that we have read, he speaks, first of all, of bringing us more and more into Christ-like character and behavior. In other words, the more I walk with the Lord, the more I depend upon him, the more I look to him for my help and strength, the more Christ-like I'm going to become. In other words, I'm not depending upon the things of this world, the things of this life, but I'm depending now upon the Lord entirely. And this also molds my character. It molds and shapes me to be what God wants me to be. The phrase that he uses here is this phrase, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now let's not mistake what he's saying here. It does not make me like the Lord Jesus, but it means that he is living his life through my life. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul? I think probably I've given to you these words before, but let me remind you of them. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, where the Apostle Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing will I be ashamed, but that now as always, and then this phrase, Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That phrase, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in place of Christ, or in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How wonderful this truth is, that now, having shaped and formed me, I can represent the Lord Jesus in this world by the way I live, by the way I conduct myself, by my manner of life in my contacts with other people, and by the message that I'm burdened to share with other people. Christ is being lived through my life, and I am his true representative. And then, of course, another reason for this, another of God's purposes, is to bring us in our daily lives more and more into total dependence on him in everything in our lives. Total dependence upon him as a purpose. You know, when we go through difficult circumstances, one of the main things that happens is we either are going to be giving in to despair and giving up as far as walk with the Lord is concerned and as far as dependence, or we're going to turn to him and we're going to cast ourselves upon him in total dependence upon him. How wonderful this truth is. First of all, that I can depend upon him. I can absolutely trust him with my life. His grace is sufficient for every need in my life. That promise he gave to the Apostle Paul there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you. But it's when we cast ourselves upon him, we come to him sometimes in despair, and we say, Lord, I can't work this out myself. I can't solve this problem. I can't meet this need. I can't go through this experience unless you help me. And then we cast ourselves before him, and we depend upon him, and the help is there. Let me repeat, the help is there, and it's going to be given to us. And then the third thing is, he wants to work out his purpose and will in our lives in the work and the calling he has given us. Now, I'm going to have to stop with this, but it's a very important truth that I close with. He is going to work out His purposes and will in our lives in the work and the calling He has given us. In other words, Paul could say that these circumstances have been given for the furtherance of the gospel. And so Paul could accept the circumstances. He didn't complain about them. Rather, he had joy about them, even when brethren opposed him, because he said the gospel is still being preached. What a wonderful ending to the life of the Apostle Paul there, in the prison cell at least. What a wonderful ending to his experience in that prison cell, that he could rejoice in what God had done through his life. So I want to leave this with you. I pray that first of all you will know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. And then in living the Christian life, you will realize that God is working for your good in everything. Through good things and difficult things, He's working for your good. May the Lord bless you, each one.